Listen to this.
Zakamani, the flying winger.
Here's Brad Evans.
It's Steve.
Who is it? It's Brad Evans.
Is that again?
Happy days are here again. Turning with a drive, it's Steve Zakamani.
Evans with the left foot.
He's an attacking threat, Brad Evans.
This is so weird.
The party has started.
What's up, guys? Welcome. Another episode, Side by Side. Myself, Steve Zakamani, Brad Evans. Keely's here as well. And Sounders coming off a point down in California against LAFC. We'll get into that game, and then we'll preview the other Los Angeles team who's red hot right now with the best player in the league right now. Chicharito's found form. They're coming to town this weekend, so we'll preview that one as well. One place to start, Brad, is this game the past weekend. We talked going into it about how these two teams, it was a lot of goals and one team wins 4-0, one team wins this. And maybe we cursed it because it ended up being not a great game to watch. I mean, decent if you like the game. There was a lot there to still like tactically and what they were trying to do, but not too many clear-cut chances, etc. I think the game suffered from no Carlos Vela, no Rossi, no Lodeiro, and possibly even like no Montero. There was a bit of an attacking spark missing, but I'm curious what you made of the game, because for me, even when the Sounders went behind, I knew at some point they would score, because LAFC just don't keep clean sheets. They can't keep teams off the board. I knew at some point there's going to be a goal here for Seattle, and that proves to be the case. Could have been more, possibly. But just curious sort of your bird's eye view, overall take on the game.
Yeah, a bit boring for me, to be honest. Like you said, it was missing a couple key players from both sides that are obviously game changers. When you're watching games as a fan on, you know, a nationally televised game, you're expecting those players and you're expecting the casual fan to watch and be impressed. But I would say that they weren't impressed unless you're a soccer enthusiast. There weren't any great passes even in the game. It was very just connect the dots. Nobody really tried anything phenomenal. But in saying that, ultimately it's a good result for the Sounders away from home, right? Like those are ones early in the season, those results matter just as much at the end of the season. And if you're hanging on to a second place spot and you get a tie at LAFC late in the season, you're buzzing. It feels like a win. You know, obviously it's a good result, but it feels a little bit different just because of the lack of quality in the game overall. And the, you know, there just wasn't much there. Nothing to write home about, as they say, right?
Right.
First goal, obviously, is you know, a talking point, I think, that changes the complexion of the game completely.
Yeah,
I think the Sounders were a bit deflated after that one, thinking, oh boy, we're in for it today. You know, but still found a way to find better possession towards the end of the first half and carried that into the second half, I think. Curious to know your thoughts also on that first goal. And Keely, obviously, from your perspective of maybe not seeing, you know, a goal like that or a situation like that before, kind of, you know, the conversation between Steph, Nuhu, and how that kind of shook
out. Yeah, I was actually going to ask about that. Cause on the broadcast, they kept talking about, oh, look, Steph didn't like Nuhu tried to tell Steph that he should stand over here. How does that conversation usually happen between goalkeeper and players? Like, what's the communication typically like on a play like that?
Yeah. Look, I think as a goalkeeper, you see it from behind. Atuesta is lined up and Steph is pretty far to his left. But in that situation, if you get beat as a goalkeeper to your left high into the corner, it's on you as a keeper, right? Mm-hmm. If Atuesta hits a ball over the wall there and gets it to up and down from, you know, 19, 20 yards, it's basically just a golf clap. And it's just a great strike, right? You kind of give them that one. But the conversation between Nuhu and Steph is Nuhu wanted to lay down. And that's something that's kind of, you started to see it maybe 2 years ago in soccer. It really wasn't around before that, where a player would lay in behind the wall. It was kind of hokey, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
It's becoming more and more common now because they've seen a couple world-class players pull off that free kick and now everyone wants to try it. And you've got to be aware of it now. So I think that was Nuhu's thought is, hey, I'm going to lay down here. Steph says no. And I think the conversation between that I always had in the wall is you have to jump with your toes down, especially from 18 yards. You don't have to jump that high because it's really, really incredibly hard to get the ball up and down from 18 yards over a, you know, a 6'1", 6'2" player that's jumping an extra, you know, 3-4 inches. Like, there are very few players in the world that can do that. Probably like Sebastian Giovinco, you've seen do it. And it's not even a strike of the ball. It's more just like a chip and the ball drops in perfectly. So you have to jump and be aware that toes down, number one, and the wall did that for, I think everyone did with their toes down, but you also have to be aware that your toes are down, but you can't jump too high that the ball goes underneath your feet. So it's like this fine line that you have to play. And last year, I think there was a situation in the wall where Shane didn't jump and everyone else did. And the wall cleared just that spot where Shane was.
Of course.
For a free kick, right? Of course. It always happens when you don't do it. And just like this week, you jump a little bit too high, but everyone jumps and they end up scoring underneath. So it's an unfortunate one to take. And I'm sure now Steph will be like, okay, new, yeah, go underneath, right? Go lay down. So just one of those learning situations. And I don't know, Chad was texting me right afterwards and he was just saying how the wall needs to jump and just not jump that high. So I think from a defender's perspective, it was just a mistimed jump and just a little bit too high.
Game of fine margins, man. Like, yeah, literally.
I've wondered this, and I could be completely just out there. I've never seriously thought about this, but when a free kick's like, not that one in particular, in general, 35 yards out, whatever, like, is there a benefit to just not putting a ward? Just leave it open 35 yards and say, shoot, just not, is there any benefit you think from when it's a bit further out?
I don't think so, because I think now there's always someone on the team that's got like that, the knuckleball, the hard strike. They're able to hit that clean and it looks like it's going to Steph and then all of a sudden it fades up into the top corner, you're going to wish you had a wall.
Yeah.
In that situation, I think two people from 35 is probably fine, but three probably at least, just because today's, even in Major League Soccer, the free kick has become such a specialized tool that, you know, it's a real opportunity. And coaches say, you know, if you're going to foul at halfway or foul in the other person's half, not in front of our own 18, because it is, especially in Major League Soccer now, the set piece has become so vital. And that's what all the kids are practicing too, right? Like, I've got a kid who's probably listening right now. His name's Tate on my high school team, and we're working on a long ball, right? Yeah. And just striking. He's a number six, but he hits every long ball like it has top spin, like he's hitting a free kick from, you know, 30 yards. So I think that's just now the game. It's become, I'm within, you know, 20, 30 yards. If I can get this in my bag as a number six, I can maybe score 6 goals a season.
Yeah.
I think it's
yeah.
just become yeah. part of the game in that strike with top spin, like Giovinco used to hit so well, has become really part of the game. Nico's done it on a number of occasions. So, you know, working through that free kick, and it really is a deadly opportunity now. And a lot of, you know, young players are putting it into their bag because they see that at the professional level.
It's like the 3-pointer in the NBA. Now it's like set pieces in soccer.
Exactly. Yeah. Just throw it up from anywhere. It's become this like deadly weapon where, right? Like 10 years ago, you didn't see anybody shooting threes from beyond the arc. It was like blasphemy, right? Listening to the announcers. And now you're seeing guys take free kicks from 40 yards and it's like, oh, okay. But 10 years ago, you'd be like, what is this guy doing?
Man of the match. Who wants to go first?
It's so hard. I'm going to give the kid Atencio, just because no one was great. No one was bad. And he's putting this is more cumulative reward, I would say. I think Josh Atencio, if I'm watching the game without knowing who's who, I don't know that he's a teenager. So that's the best compliment I can give him. He belongs. He doesn't look out of place. He's not lighting the world on fire, but he doesn't have to. He's doing his job. He's keeping his passes going. He's confident. He's making the right play. He can play long ball, short ball. He's covered a lot of ground. He has personality. So I like him a lot. And I think across the first two games, he's been good. You know, he's put in very good shifts and he's repaid the coach's faith in him. So I will go with Atencio because I think that's a big stage. You know, they were missing some players, but that's a very, very good team against a strong midfield. Okay, Blessing, Atuesta, they're very good players. And he was not out of place.
I'm going to go with Brad Smith just because he got his first goal as a Sounder. You know, he bicked his head in anticipation of scoring a header. And he got off the mark. So here's to Brad. Obviously he doesn't score many goals, but it's always great to score a goal, obviously, to make it your first at a difficult place to play and come out with a 1-1 tie. Without him, you know, we lose 1-0. So credit to him for securing a point and not giving up an extra 2 points on the road.
Yeah, it's got to be Brad Smith. Sorry, Steve. I have to. Josh Atencio, he has so many opportunities to win man of the match. So
you know what's crazy? There. You know what I've always hated? I used to hate when I used to play for the Sounders. I don't know if they still do it. We'd play at CenturyLink and then they'd announce the man of the match on the big screen sometimes, like over the speaker, and it'd be like player of the game, 85th minute or so. And I'm in the game and it's always who just scored. If you the guy that got the game winning goal, he had a really bad game, but he scored a tap in, we won the game. I hate that so much. Pet peeve of mine. Man of the match is who was the best player in the game. Maybe he didn't score, maybe he didn't assist, but I understand it. I understand why fans will vote for, you know, the guy that got the points and stuff like that. But I always tend to go for the guy that maybe wouldn't be the obvious choice, but actually did have a good game. That's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm just sucking up because Brad Smith is our guest this week. So I'm not going to not pick him.
Galaxy coming to town. I have to say, I didn't foresee their start to the season. I didn't foresee Chicharito, especially he got 2 goals in 12 games last year. And I think he has 5 in the first two. Fair play to him, credit. He got a lot of stick, a lot of criticism last year, which you'll get being the big player that you are, getting paid that kind of money. It's just, it comes with the territory and he's responded well. So, but they've won 2 games. They still don't scare me. It's weird. I was way more scared playing LAFC than playing the Galaxy. I think Seattle matches up well against this team. I think, they're still going to concede goals. The Galaxy will give you chances. They have got a very good coach. I do like Greg Vanney a lot. But looking ahead to this game, I think you go for, you're thinking 3 points. Anything less than 3 points, I think, is a disappointment, especially considering Portland's on the horizon. LAFC's coming back around as well. Some tough games coming up. I think it's a game I look at. More soundest players, especially full strength, will get into the Galaxy team than vice versa. I don't know that I take Chicharito over Rui Diaz, for example. I don't know that I do that. So, and he's their marquee player. Everyone else, the back line for sure, Sounders, goalkeeper Sounders, all over the pitch, it's a Sounders. So I think it's a game you look to win. You respect what they've done. You respect that guy in the box. Like Wando, we've seen over the years, guys who just know how to score. He's one of those guys. But it has to be 3 points, no?
Yeah, I agree. It's got to be 3. You got to go for broke. You got to put this team out of it early. My thought, I think, is the same as yours, that this Galaxy team, yes, they're in good form. They're well coached. I think if you can take Victor Vasquez out of the game, out of the play, then they don't have much. Right. Obviously, I mean, they still have, Dos Santos in the midfield, who's a top quality player, captain of the team. But I think Victor has been the catalyst for not only the entire team, but for Chicharito himself. Right. Like, that's been the biggest piece. When I've watched both Galaxy games, it's been Vasquez who's been the game changer. And Greg Vanney had talked about it, like, this is a guy that was really, really good in Toronto for him. And obviously fell off at some point. And he was like, no, this guy still has a lot to give, a lot to prove. And I think that he has shown to be the catalyst for them. Yes, Chicharito has scored, but I think it's Vasquez that has brought a different dynamic to the Galaxy team that makes them not so one-dimensional relying on Chicharito, but now they're able to play through the midfield and really pick out passes. And he's done that. And that's been really impressive, right? Like, you always like to see the guys who –
yeah.
Nobody counted on, then step in and make a difference on another team for the coach that, you know, wants him to play. So it's a bunch of guys who want to play for Greg. He's implemented just a new philosophy, a new gusto, and really turned that team around.
What's been the difference with Chicharito this year, you guys? Because, you know, he had a rough season last year. It's only been 2 games this year, obviously, so it's hard to really say. But is it just because he's getting better service? Is it because he's finding the spaces? Is it because the nature of his position means that he kind of, because he's all about finding space. So is it just getting on the same page with everybody? What do you think it is?
Keely, the day I figure that one out, I'll become a very rich man. Because I'll sell the formula. No one can explain it because I watched him so closely last year. He was in the same spaces.
Right.
He probably had even better chances at times. We remember Sounders went down to LA last year and remember Christian Rodon's chip and Jordan had a great game. Chicharito had some easy chances in that game that normally he finishes with his eyes closed and he missed and he's scoring tougher ones this year. No one can explain it. Brad played a game as well. I went through spells sometimes. I've not scored for 10 games and I'm doing everything right. Extra training in the right spots. And other times I score 5 games in a row, the ball hits my knee and it goes in without trying. Yeah. So I don't think anyone can explain that one. The part I would say is he clearly has continued to work through it. He's persevered. He likes this setup a lot better. Last year, let's not forget, their team went through Pavon, who wasn't a crosser or he was a dribbler. He would make things happen and he didn't quite suit Chicharito's game. They've got guys now in who put service into the box. All those things help. You get one, the goal starts to get bigger and bigger. And now he feels like he can't miss.
I'll piggyback off that, but I will say that I think he looks fitter. Like you don't go to you don't go to Miami the first game where it's humid, it's hot. You know, they're buzzing at their stadium and play 90 minutes and really work your tail off for 90 minutes. I think last year he probably puts his hand up at you know, the 70th, 60th minute mark and says, "Hey, I gotta come out." Right. And then last week in LA, afternoon game, you know, got his hat trick and then kind of put his hand up and was like, "Oh yeah, I'm stretching my calves a bit." Like we've seen that one a million times, guy.
Yeah.
He wants that round of applause walking off the field, right? So I think he's fitter for sure. And when you're fit, it's easier to get on the back post and get just that extra step mentally, physically, it just becomes easier. And I think he came in unfit last year. He thought it was going to be a cakewalk and then realized, oh, wait, okay, maybe these defenders aren't as good in Major League Soccer, but they're pretty dang fit and pretty athletic, right? And sometimes athleticism can, you know, be the difference maker when it comes to quality, especially at his age. Like, yes, at, you know, 25, maybe his talent would show through without the fitness. But at his age, I think that you have to have the fitness and the talent will show and overcome that physical battle. But I think a small formation change with the Galaxy, I think bringing on Zubac has taking some pressure off him up top also to really be that guy to hold up play and link. Now he can be the typical Chicharito where the play doesn't even go through him at all, but somehow he's on the end of a cross, right? Yeah. Inside the box. I think Twellman was saying in his, all of his goals in the Premier League, none were outside the 18, zero goals outside the 18.
Wow.
So he is a true poacher. He is, you know, that's his bread and butter.
So not a 1-1. We're not thinking this is going to be 1-1. We're thinking this is going to be more like 4-2.
Yeah.
A lot of goals.
I think Sounders
score. I don't think the Galaxy will score.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You never, I mean, the only games I feared playing them were nighttime. If I was at home, not feared, but like, okay, this is going to be a good battle. We're nighttime games at CenturyLink. Afternoon games, I think we always came out victorious for the most part, except for, I think, one game a long time ago.
That's the game when Adrian refunded the fans' tickets. We lost 4-0 at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and that was against a good but was good
crazy.
Galaxy team.
I was speaking to Pete Verhaenisch yesterday about that game. And we were talking about actually outplayed them. They just scored 4 goals. Set piece,
they
Omar.
Like,
yeah. And like, we couldn't figure out because we actually played very well. And they beat us 4-0 and it was so. But I agree with you. I think Galaxy's, even back then, Keeley with Beckham, Keane, Donovan, they were good, but they always gave you chances. I like playing against them.
Yeah.
Like, it was just always an open game. You have so much space against them. It was, but probably 2014-15 when they were last, like the power that we've known them to be, I would say.
This is so random. The first MLS game I ever went to was a playoff game between LA Galaxy and FC Dallas in like 2010.
I can't even remember that.
Because I was in college in Los Angeles. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Random. So Brad Smith, we're all excited. He's going to be our guest in honor of his incredible haircut. We've all compiled a list of some of our favorite bald celebrities. Who wants to go first? Who's their favorite?
I'll go first. We're doing three?
Yeah, three each.
Okay. I'm going to go Woody Harrelson. I love Woody Harrelson. I think he's so funny. Patrick Stewart. Awesome guy. And Demi Moore.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a very good list.
On G.I. Jane.
That's a great list.
It's a good list.
First and foremost, I have to go Michael Jordan. I have to. Michael Jordan. Then The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, he's bored, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how can I not? Come on, one of my favorite wrestlers growing up, him and Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, that whole era. So The Rock. And then Samuel L. Jackson. How can I not? Samuel L. Jackson. So I would say, like, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson's probably going to win just because.
Yeah.
You stole one of mine, which was Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was the first person that I obviously thought of. Yes. Of course.
Legend, yes.
Of course. Another random thing. I worked it when I was in college. I interned at a talent agency that represented him, which is like
just really
weird. back then, I didn't know who he was.
Oh, wow. He was probably bigger back then.
I'm sure he was bigger back then. Sinead O'Connor, number two. Yeah, Britney Spears, when she shaved her head, looked great. Everyone freaked out. I thought she looked great.
Speaking of bored celebrities, we're about to bring one on. Nice local celebrity, Brad Smith. He'll be joining us. Got his first, I want to say his first goal of the season, but his first Sounders goal, yes? Ever.
First Sounders goal. Yes.
Which is surprising to me. He was involved in so much good stuff, especially in 2019. But Brad Smith got his first Sounders goal with the head. And he'll be joining us shortly to talk about that. And also, you know, just how it feels to be back in Seattle for him. More on a permanent basis now. And of course, previewing the Los Angeles Galaxy. Stay tuned. Brad Smith coming right up.
Wonderful finish he had last week against Minnesota United. But I think if he get knee spots more, he's going to have an impact going forward for them. Rui Diaz! And here's Brad Smith! And Brad Smith uses his head to record his first ever goal for Seattle. Rui Diaz with the initial chance, the parried save from Cisniega, and Smith stooped to conquer.
Wait, Brad, you played center back too?
I played every field position.
Are you kidding?
Except for goalie, obviously.
Dude, they should have just thrown you into goalie just to like have that filled up. You
know, I always thought about that. Like, just sign me for a one day.
Yeah.
And give me and put the gloves on me. Let me have a go for.
But Brad, will you go a full 90 as a goalkeeper?
Absolutely not.
Brad, you want to do bring it in?
No, this is your show, bro.
Yeah,
it is.
Steve, it's your show. Stop.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm delighted to say we're joined by someone who scored their first goal of the season last week, Brad Smith. Made his return back to the Sounders and then getting his year off to a good start. Brad, delighted you can join us.
Thanks, Dave. Happy to be here with the fellas.
Let's go right back to that moment. There's a lot to cover, but just the feeling of scoring that goal. I watched the game on TV and seeing you get on the end of that. You don't score many, so I want to know what the sensation was of scoring a goal in a quite a big game.
Yeah, it's obviously, like you said, don't score many. Maybe this position will help me do that, get more freedom to go forward, stuff like that. So, but I was delighted to score. I wish it was like a winning goal instead of a draw goal, but no, I was happy. And you can see the delight on like Will's face and stuff because they've been dying for me to score. So no, it was a happy moment for me.
Honestly, did you ever think that your first goal for the Sounders would be a header?
Especially, I shaved my head that morning as well, like seriously. And like, none of my family had saw my like shaved head or anything. And then they're like, oh my God, you score with your head? Like now everyone can see it, you know what I mean? And then Twitter was blowing up and everything. And it's just like, oh gosh.
Twitter was absolutely blowing up.
Yeah, what, you didn't help it, bro. You didn't help it.
Brad, that tweet was so mean. That tweet was so mean.
Keely, you just need to spend a day in the life in the locker room. And if you think that's mean, you haven't seen
like,
nothing yet.
So, other Brad, we have a couple of questions related to your new haircut. And this morning, I was so worried. I was like, oh my God, is this too mean? Like, are we being rude? And I guess not. So, go ahead.
No, it's fine. It's all good.
Go ahead.
I got kids now, you know what I mean? It's all good.
What inspired the bicking of the head?
Well, it started in England because I was over there. I couldn't get back to the States, and England was in complete lockdown. Nothing was open, stuff like that. So it was kind of like, I'll just shave it or grow back, whatever. And then once I shaved it, I realized that I'd lost more hair than I anticipated. And then I was like, oh God, I got to keep it like this now and then. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have bicked it that short day of the game. But Christian cut the guy's hair. And I was like, oh, I need a little haircut. Like, let's get it down. And he cut it so short. And then the day of the game, it was so white and everything. And then whatever. But yeah, that's where it started. And then, no, I'm just going to keep it like that because it's not coming back. My dad hasn't helped me out in the old hairline department. So, yeah, we'll deal with it.
you mentioned that a new sort of position. I mean, we remember even your first thing with the Sounders. You had Victor Rodriguez in front of you. He would tuck inside, you would overlap, and you guys had quite an incredible connection. Now you're playing a role where you're starting from slightly higher position. Now, what's some of the adjustments you've had to make, or does this role suit you where you can get into the box more, be more of an attacking player? How are you finding it?
Yeah, it's definitely different. Like you said, I had Victor in front of me, Jordan in front of me, where I could link and stuff like that. But now I'm kind of like the one out there, and wing back is you're kind of out there on your own. So it's definitely different in that aspect, but I can get in the box and have more freedom to go forward and not have to worry about coming back as much because I have a new who there. I can just like block everyone out and call my security guard now. But yeah, it's definitely going to help me in the attacking sense. We've got to get used to it. I think everyone's adjusting, like even Raul and Will, like one of them has to come into the pocket as sort of like a 10 sort of at times. And I feel like they're adjusting to that as well. The midfielder positions, it's completely different. Everyone's kind of having to adjust, and the three at the back is good defensively, but like Nuhu, who's not played there before, I think he's doing a good job. And everyone's just moving pieces. And I think after the first game, first half of the first game was a little shaky for everyone, and we're starting to grow into the formation a little bit better. So I think time will be the good for us to, like, you know what I mean, to work on it and get better at it.
Yeah, you guys, you mentioned, you know, getting the right pieces and getting used to the formation. And, you know, often there's a lot of questions online about, you know, a 3-5-2 versus a 4-4-2, 4-3-3. Ultimately, it's, you know, 11-v-11. And I think that's what most fans see. But I'm sure you'll be the first one to say that as soon as you switch positions, you spend years playing in one position, one formation, and you're really used to it, right? It becomes automatic. And you kind of touched on it. There are some positives for you in this formation, but what have been some of the challenges for you heading into preseason, finding out first, hey, we're going to play a 3-5-2 from the start? You kind of got to wrap your mind around that, but specifically some challenges for you and things that you hope to build on as you progress in this formation.
Yes, like I said, I'm used to having someone in front, so it's used to getting the ball and having the 1-2 option, which I love, and it works so well with Victor and stuff like that. So just not having someone there, and I feel like because Nico's been out the team for the first two games, has been difficult because he's our best player in the pocket. Like that's where that 10 needs to come across and get in the pockets in between the lines, and it'll be great for me when he comes back. Just because he can turn, and also his left footers, he likes to come out that way a lot, as we've seen over the years. But it's definitely got it's positivity. I think, well, the only goal we conceded, or only real chance, was the goal at LA, which was a free kick from stop play. So I think defensively it's solid. We just need to tinker a little bit with the offensive play, but that'll come. And when Nico comes back as well, hopefully it'll be soon, that'll help the team definitely.
A lot of people were questioning, and I'm one of them, if the Sounders got better in the offseason, what kind of team we would see. There was a lot of talk of formation. We'd lost Leerdam, Gustav, Jovan Jones, Roman, a lot of experience. A lot of guys who've been here and have won. And so far in the first two games, defensively, have been absolutely solid, as you said. The offensive piece is still coming together, waiting for Nico to come back, but scored, you know, a ton of goals against Minnesota, managed to find a goal for yourself, come against LAFC. Where within the team, did you guys always feel good about the team you had and looking at the season and thinking like we actually can maintain our level and still do something this year, despite what we lost?
Yeah, definitely. I think over the years, as you guys know, Sounders have just kind of got on with moving pieces and done really well in every season, in every different challenge and stuff like that. And I think with Jordan going out, not really having any out and out wingers, like you said, they got rid of Jovan. I think this was a formation that fit the team with the personnel it had, and that's what we're gonna do. We've got to adjust to it. I think it fits perfectly with everyone we do have, and just about improving on it. And there's going to be challenges up and down through the season. Sometimes it's not going to work. We might have to change formation mid-game or for a specific game, but I don't think that's a problem for us. Everyone's dialed in and everyone knows what we want to achieve as a team, and I think that's why it's been so successful over the years, and definitely going to be a good season for us.
One thing Steve and I have talked about are the youngsters, and we want to dive into it a little bit more. But from within, obviously, Atencio's stepping into a really difficult role to fill, especially in Major League Soccer, often one that is occupied by a veteran player. But just the progression from your perspective of the young guys, it's been, what, you know, 2.5 years now for you in total, right? Almost. So just what you've seen from those guys and where they're at really and how they kind of stack up against maybe some young players you've seen overseas at that age on other teams also, and academy products and kind of what the Sounders have done with these young guys.
Yeah, I think, like I said, 2.5 years have been here, so 3 seasons. So I've seen different youngsters in the teams. I think this year is probably the best I've seen the youngsters. Like Josh is the obvious one to talk about. He came back into preseason as one of the fittest guys on the team. He's obviously been working hard in the offseason, and this is what football's like. You got to take a chance. Like Nico picked up a little injury in preseason, and he stepped into, like I said, a very hard role, especially with a 2 now, not a 3. So it's even more difficult, and he's done so well in the first 2 games. He's shown his talents, and he's got some stuff to work on, but overall it's been massive for him. And I think a lot of the youngsters that you may have not seen yet are very talented as well. There's a lot of very young players training with us at the moment, 16, 17, and this is probably the youngest I've seen it over the years. And definitely some talented players that could definitely step up this year and get some minutes when needed, especially towards the end of the season when there's a lot of midweek games. We're going to have to rotate, especially in this formation. Like, I don't know if we can go 3 games a week as a wing back and stuff like that. So there's going to be opportunities for young guys, and I think that's important, and definitely they look good. And compared to overseas, like, to step into any first-team environment at 16 years old is a huge positive, and they're only going to learn from all the veteran players and stuff like that. So it's definitely good to see. And like I said, this is the best year I've seen in the young guys.
Brad, last one from me here. I know you came back towards the end of last season. You know, there was a lot happening. We had to quarantine in your hotel, and it didn't feel settled. This year, starting with the preseason, being here, does this spell feel different from your first spell when you were on loan and there were so many question marks about your future? Are you going? Are you coming? Now you're here, you're settled, you know the city well. Just from a personal viewpoint, how does it feel now being a part of the team as a permanent player, your second spell, knowing the city? Is there a difference or the same thing for you?
Yeah, this is what I've had to struggle with a lot of my career, being on loan and never being settled. And it's tough when I've got two kids now and a wife, so it's definitely tough. And like I said, the first time I was here, everyone was just talking about if I'm staying, if I'm going. I didn't know until the very end, which was challenging at times. But even last year when I came in towards the end of the season, I didn't have a preseason. So the league's different. The start times were all different, and picked up little niggle injuries, and then going to the playoffs, I wasn't fit enough and stuff like that. So now everyone's here. My family's moved out. It was a challenge with all COVID and stuff to get visas. But everyone's here now. We're all settled. And as long as the family's happy, then
ultimately I'm happy. And I think that'll show, like, this season more settled with everyone being around me. And yeah, definitely different now being somewhere I can call home and settled.
Feeling settled, I don't think fans understand. I mean, some do. Some feel just like, oh yeah, we're paying him a bunch of money and he's going to perform, right? But the fact that you have your own place, you're not staying in a hotel, you're not staying at Christian's for a week and bouncing back and forth and moving your stuff, right?
Yeah.
That just feeling of being home is like one of the best feelings as a soccer player or as an athlete in general, right? And I'm glad that you're feeling that way. As we close it out, just preview Galaxy for us and what you guys are expecting. Obviously the same from the Sounders, but what you guys have seen so far from the Galaxy, obviously what's different, and how you guys will approach this match coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, obviously, Galaxy at the top of the league right now is 6 points, so they're going to be coming in hard. They got to come here and play us. And over the years, we've been successful playing them at home. We've scored a bunch of goals and stuff, so that's what we're going to try and do. We're going to watch film on them, and like I said, they're coming in hot. Chicharito is going to be in fine form coming in, but we've got to work on the stuff that we know we can do better than them. And it's going to be a tough, hard game. But at home, we've got some of the fans back, which is amazing. So I think it'll be a good test for us, but also a good challenge and good to pick up points at home and then hopefully go above them.
Brad, before we let you go, we're known as a hard-hitting podcast, so I have to ask but one tough question at least. Are you the best Brad to have played for the Sounders? Yes or no?
Of course not, man. This guy's played, like we spoke about before, he's played every single position except goalkeeper. Come on, man. I want to see him come back and play goalkeeper. Just give it to him. 10 minutes, we spoke about it before. Just give him 10 minutes so he can play everywhere.
Talk to your dad.
Versatile, we'll call him, huh?
Talk to your dad, Garth. Brought you back like four times now. He could at least bring me back once.
Make it happen, bro. I'd love to see it. You'd have to have a word with Steph though to get him out, but yeah, I'm sure he'll do it.
That's fine.
I love it. All right, awesome, Brad. Great, man. Thanks for joining us. Congrats on the goal again, and all the best this weekend, man. All the best this season going forward as well.
Cheers, Steve. Cheers, Brad.
All right, thanks again to Brad Smith for joining us. Thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening. As always, this Sunday, Sounders at home to LA Galaxy. So far, Brad Evans' prediction still going well. We will not lose to a Los Angeles-based team this season. So can the Sounders keep that going? Kickoff, 6 p.m. It's on FS1, National TV. Watch that game. Turn the volume all the way down and listen to us on KJR Radio. I'll be on there with Keith Costigan and Casey Keller. Seattle Sounders at home to LA Galaxy. I think we all predicted a win for the Sounders. And I think that's what we'll see. And we'll be back next week. Recapping that game and hopefully looking at a team sitting with 7 points after 3 games. How good would that be? So thanks for tuning in. Like, subscribe, comment everywhere you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week. This has been Side by Side.